right, guys, thank you for joining me today. This is The Angry Prepper. Today's episode, episode 37, is going to be on bug out cache. Where to bury them, why you would use one, and what containers to use. Now, first question is, why should you have one, right? Why should you have a bug out cache? Well, if you are bugging out on foot or even driving, you're going to want to have resupply locations for your gear, especially if you're on foot, right? So a bug out cache is something that you hide, prep materials in a container buried underground, hidden away from people, right? You would use that as a resupply location, if you will, or bin to resupply your bug out bags while you're walking or even driving. Now, is it important to have one? Not really. Not if you calculated your walk and the supplies you have in your bag now, you might not need it. But if you're hiking or bugging out from, let's say, New York to Ohio, you're going to need a couple bug out caches, in the middle of the walk, right? So you just can't have one or two. You're probably going to have a lot. Now, having them will probably save your life, just because if you're walking and you start running low on food and water, you come up to a cache, you dig it up, you open it up, and you take what you need out and leave everything else in, right? Whatever else you don't need. Now, if it's just you and your family, then take out all of it, if you will. But if you don't need it, I guess you could leave it in the ground. Hopefully someone else will find it, but we'll get to other people finding it in a few minutes. So where would you put them? Well, away from heavy traffic area, right? Heavy foot traffic area, that is. Not so much cars, because if you're in a car, you're not going to be looking for that. You're going to be driving on the road. But if you're walking, you could accidentally stumble on it, or a person could accidentally stumble on it, or by sheer luck, they could find it, right? While they're pitching a tent, they drive a peg into the ground and they hit this case. Now, they shouldn't hit the case when driving a peg into the ground. We're going to get to how deep you should bury it in a little bit. Once you find an area to bury it, now you got to remember the location, right? So marking your location is going to help you out, but I'd rather mark a location with memorization and not anything visual or physical, right? So if you're going to use an oak tree, for example, that your favorite oak tree, or a intimidating oak tree in the middle of the woods, remember where or how far away from that tree it is, whether it's north, south, east, west of that tree, and how many paces, whether that's 10, 20, 30 paces. Now, memorizing a location, like I said, is a lot better, because if you mark it on a map, someone could find it. Now, the chances of them finding it just by looking at a map, yes, it's going to be hard, because you will know what the general area of that bug out cache is and how far away from that tree it is, as long as you don't mark that on a map. You don't mark scary looking oak tree in woods, or oak tree with white blotches on it. You know, if you get too specific, they're going to find it, especially if you drop this map. So it's just better if you memorize it and it stays in your head, and then you tell everyone in your family what it looks like, or what the bug out cache markings or locations look like, or where they are. Now, once we're past all of that, once we found a spot, we buried it in the ground, when you're digging the hole for your cache, you got to keep in mind it should be anywhere between 3 to 4 feet deep, not 5 or 6, because that's too deep. Now, 4 feet's a bit much. You have to also work on the height of your cache, right? The height of the bin you're using. I would say keep it at a safe 3 feet, because tent pegs don't go any further than that. If you got a tent peg that's going 3 feet in the ground, that's an impressive peg. So I would say 2 to 3, nothing more than that. Now, containers to use. Of course, waterproof buckets or bins. I mean, and when I mean waterproof, I mean tightly sealed. Dry bags. If you can't afford water buckets or bins, put everything in a dry bag and then put that dry bag in a bucket and then duct tape it shut. Or just put everything in a bucket and duct tape it shut. And when I mean duct tape it shut, I'm talking about like serious duct tape work, not, you know, like a tab here and there, right? You can even put saran wrap over the top, then put the lid on, then put duct tape on it. That'll truly keep up moisture and water should the area flood by accident, not flood by accident, but flood or heavy rains. It'll keep your preps nice and dry. Now, like I said before, I'm not a big fan of PVC pipes. They're just too small. They don't store enough. If you're rolling heavy, like I would be, with four extra people, up to probably 7 to 8, you need a bucket or a bin, right? So that everybody can get what they need. If you're rolling in a group, and I'm talking like a big group or groups, that's where the whole scheduling of where to dig up a bug out cache. And when I mean or the location, I mean if you're rolling in different groups, each group is going to have a different location within the bug out cache location. So you should bury, let's say you have three groups, three different bug out bins, right? Bug out cache bins. And they're going to be marked, right? So let's say group A, B, and C. Group A will be by the 20, 30 paces from the big boulder by the waterfall. Group B will be by the giant oak tree, 40 paces to the south of that oak tree. And then group C will be 35 paces south of the maple tree, right? So those are the things you would have to, not so much schedule, but plan out if you're rolling in groups like that, right? So if all three groups are rolling together, which I advise against, and I did a podcast on bug out walking in a group. If you are rolling in a group that big, you need to break it down into three separate groups and leave at three separate times, right? But again, that's another conversation for another day. But having designated bug out bins for each group will be important. Now, each group, after the first group that comes up to the bug out locations, they should also check what's left behind in the bins, right? So just in case they might need a medical kit or more food, they can go to the other bins. Should the first group and second group not, didn't take everything, right? Now, ground you're going to come across when digging, and grounds that you should consider not digging in. For example, grounds you shouldn't dig in are obviously frozen because it takes a lot of work, and you have to keep that in mind when you're bugging out and you come across your bug out cache. If the ground's frozen, you're going to need some heavy tools to break that open. So I suggest a pickaxe or an axe with a pike on the end to break the ground up. Two people or three people are going to have the tools to bring up these bug out cache, right? So you're going to have one person with, a pickaxe or an axe with a pike, one person with a shovel, or two people with a shovel, one person with an axe. You don't want everybody carrying tools, and you also only give it to those who can actually carry the tools while walking. Or people could just switch them out. You know, one person carries it for this amount of distance, and then so on and so forth. So frozen ground, you have to consider, especially if you're bugging out in the winter. Water table. If the ground is constantly wet and soaked, that means there's a water table underneath the ground, meaning there's water under the ground, which actually can soften the ground. If it's a cavern underneath, if the bug out bin's too heavy or the ground is worn out over time, which creates a sinkhole, there goes your cache. So keep that in mind. Flood zones, you have to consider that. Don't bury anything in low-lying ground, right? So if it's a hill, and at the bottom of the hill, it's like a little valley or gully or whatever, don't put anything in there, because if it rains, on when you're coming across it, and it had heavy rains a couple days ago, it could still be flooded. There goes your cache in the bottom of small pond, if you will. Soft ground, which is not bad. It's easier for you to dig up. But if you have something in there and for whatever reason an animal could smell it, they might dig it up. That's why you also bury it anywhere between 2 to 3 feet so that animals are not digging it up just as easy. Hard ground. Now, hard ground, it's also like having a lot of rocks in the ground, right? So you're going to have hard ground, but you're also going to have ground that has like an obsessive amount of rocks in it, like up here in the East Coast. There's rocks everywhere. No matter where you dig, you're hitting the stone, right? So you have to consider that too. Now, that's easy work considering you're digging the ground up. You move the rocks out, boulders, whatever it is. Then you put the cash in. Now, of course, if it was a boulder, you're not taking it out. You're going to leave it there. You're going to have to move to another spot. When I go camping, that always creates a problem with my my tent. Because every time I whack a stake in the ground, I'm hitting a rock. So keep in mind that you want soft, fresh ground. Not too hard. Definitely not frozen. No water table underneath. And not in a flood zone. All right, guys. So this is the Angry Prepper. Thank you for listening. If there was anything I missed or anything I said that you didn't like, you could email me at theangryprepper@gmail.com. You could also watch my YouTube channel, The Angry Prepper Urban and The Angry Prepper Outdoors. You can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter. All right, guys, thank you for listening.